Lord, we bless you. We receive of your blood. Receive of the healing, the atonement, the forgiveness, the cleansing that comes by the blood. Lord, we open our hearts to receive this blood into the foundations of our being, of our gatherings and coming together. You say we should take of your body and eat. Lord, we come today to receive one another. We receive one another with fear and trembling. Lord, we stand to make a fresh commitment to have and to hold, to receive one another with forbearance, with patience. So he that repeated the matter does not seek love. Lord, we come to cover. For he said, Lord, covers the multitude. Lord, we receive the life and the vitality that you are bringing to us. I just want us to sing that song, Cover Me and Flow Through Me. Let the lifeblood of your body flow through us. But let it be a new commitment as we reflect in our hearts, as we break bread, as we drink of his blood. The bread and the blood are tokens. The very blood of Jesus, the very body of Jesus. So he will nourish and he cherish. It is the body of the Lord that he has purchased for himself. singing that song, I just heard the Lord speaking. There are many who are worried about the signs of the times. And I just felt the Lord saying something about covering. Because of the darkness of the times, the tribulations in the world. And I think that's a word of the Lord to us, that He's going to cover us in the storms of the days to come. There'll be covering from sickness, from disease. There'll be coverings from the darts of the enemy. Hallelujah.
Oh Jesus. Hallelujah.
If you are afraid, you can rest under the shadow of His wings. For He is the El Shaddai, the double-breasted one. Hallelujah. Scripture says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. As we break bread, bread is made from the wheat. Individual grains of wheat that must be broken and ground into powder. It speaks of a mixing. And in the process of making the flour, any grain that refuses to be crushed, you pick it and you throw it out. It's really fearful, you know. But this is not a time when anyone or any ministry or any vessel, even at the family level, any child will go out of the covering, because doing that will mean that the avenger of blood will have access. God says the fellowship is the city of refuge. The fellowship in someone's house is not the city of refuge, but the God ordained local assembly is the city of refuge.
Amen.
And it is God's responsibility to guard it, to keep it, and to bring a covering over it. It's part of His body, and we must relate with one another in that fear and sanctification, not to break the body, not to go out of the covering of the body. The body should be our life. Our vision will be to sustain the body, because that is our salvation, our deliverance, our life. My progress is in the body. If God blesses one part of the body, He has blessed me. If one part of the body is diseased, then I am diseased. I am strong as much and to the extent that the body is strong. And in the Old Testament, the body was, or the offering was, sanctified by blood. And this body, His body, He is also sanctifying, cleansing. He said He will nourish and cleanse by the blood. Those of us who are married, it's a reflection of the care and the relationship between Christ and His body. He said it is His body. and he takes it personal. And he says the times of ignorance he has, you know, he's putting it aside. I think there's a window of opportunity for recovery. Recovery of relationships, of ministry, of the purposes of God, you know, that he has entrusted into our hands. Before we break bread, there's a little thought, something that a brother saw, and he put it in the mail and sent to me. Brother Michael, he's from the Port Harcourt Fellowship, is someone anointed in the ministry of with the gifts, and you know, he God speaks to him and shows him things. When Brother Bott and Brother Martin were with us, and there were revelations from Czech and then from US here, he also had a word, so there was a confirmation that they were to leave that morning. So we were ahead, and we will always be ahead of the enemy. So he sent a word. He said, as he prayed for the meetings yesterday, that God showed him Baal in our midst. B-A-L, sorry, I call it Baal, you call it Baal. Okay, sorry, you have to... he saw Baal in our midst. Baal is the god of sexuality. He's the god of materialism and the god of pleasures. And I think it's something he said he saw in our midst. So it's not something that we're going to, you know, push it aside, but something that we've got to deal with. And as Brother George was saying, as we go out, it's something that we have to take to our hearts. Baal is recognized as the Lord. He is the life giver. He is worshipped as a sun god, worshipped as the giver of life in the seasons, you know, of spring, in the seasons of summer, and then worshipped as the sun rises. I just came from England. Many people came all over the world to the Stonehenge during the time of the summer solstice. But that's natural. You know, it's very much, you know, something that is manifesting, you know, within. And it speaks of altars. In the house of the Lord, there should not be Baal. But there has been Baal. There have been Baal. There were men, Manasseh, he brought in Baal into the house of the Lord, even within the holy place and the holiest of all. It has happened historically, and it's also happened spiritually, in the sense that Baal has come in. So God is speaking of altars in our hearts, different dimensions, and these are things that we need to begin to turn our hearts onto. So those altars relate to nationality, and today it's special, isn't it? 4th of July. we thank God for the United States. Amen. You've been such a blessing to us in Africa. I'm sure the Czech brethren know. And now Sister Melinda is blessed by you and by your ministry, and it will continue to be so. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will continue to be so. We love you. We receive your ministry. But you know, Nigeria, God is not interested in the United States. He's not interested in Nigeria either. He's interested in the body.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he's raising the body. He's not going to preserve the United States or even Nigeria or anywhere else. These are some of the altars that God is pulling down. So we We have to pull down those altars so that the altar of the Lord will be raised up in our hearts. The heart of man is the altar of the Lord. And that is where the offerings must be brought. And we must not allow other altars to be there. One of the first things Elijah did was to repair the altar. And brethren, there is a time to it. When Bramak knows, when the Jesus was offered at the time of the morning sacrifice. Hallelujah. Jesus was offered at the time of the morning sacrifice. That was when he died. But between the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, many things have happened. It is the time of Baal. During the time of Elijah, all through the morning, they were jumping and shouting, running around, cutting themselves, making noise. Baal had field day. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when the time of the evening sacrifice came, Elijah came up. But I'm telling you that the Elijah of God are coming. This is the time of Elijah. And when Elijah came, he said, repair the altar of God that has been broken down. So he's speaking of our hearts. He's speaking in our culture. Brethren, dressing is very important. The clothes you wear. I mean, why would you think God spent one full chapter, Exodus 38, to talk about the clothes of the Levite, the clothes of Aaron? It was very detailed. What the color, the tapestry, the flowers, the things. It was so detailed. The priest must put on clothes that reflect his personality. As you look at me, you suddenly know where I'm from, isn't it so? Yesterday, the radio was American. I was wearing your jeans and your t-shirt. And you didn't know, I mean, you feel good. So, oh, this guy is dressing like one of us. But when you dress, you manifest, you speak forth of your personality. So brethren, God will touch your clothes. Amen. The priest, he says, these are the clothes that Aaron will wear for beauty and for glory, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Every one of us, we are called to be priests. Then, would you dress in a manner that will not bring forth or show forth the glory and the beauty of the Lord? The body you have was paid for by Jesus. It's not yours. You know, some, you know, the philosophy, the sexual revolution of the 50s that went up and has come now, it's come with several things. It was a French man that started trousers. He was a French man. And he was a Satanist. He was one that started the trouser revolution in the world. Go and check. Read their encyclopedia. Check their history. And they have gone all over. They are pushing the limits every year. And what they are doing is to turn the men to women and turn the women to men.
Yeah, that's right.
In the old times, when they worship the gods, they dress like the gods. They dress like the gods they worship. And that is Baal worship, brethren. You know, we are priests of the Lord, we must dress to reflect the glory of the Lord. We must dress to show forth that beauty of holiness. Men should be men. Women should be. I mean, I would be such a wreck without my wife. And women are meant to be women in the house of God. You know, but God wants to masculinize. Sorry, the devil wants to turn the women to men in the dressing and also in the behaviors, in the in the functioning, and it all goes with the clothes. I tell you something. When I was coming, I had some rebellion in my heart. We Africans will feel this black-white thing. It's real. We feel it. And I said, if I'm coming, I'm going to show them that I'm confident in myself. So I was going to wear a t-shirt. My wife, I like the shirt. But I said, this doesn't look appropriate. I should wear something that will look African, so that when they look at me, they say, yes, this is an accomplished African man. So I put it, but I noticed that I was aggressive in my heart, in my nature. I found an aggressiveness. And all true, in fact, when I got to the custom, the chap, I had a rough time with him. I began to strive with him. Because he was trying to take undue advantage of me, because he felt this is an African, it might be a bomber trying to blow up the plane. So I was reacting to that. And in the plane, God said, well, you started it. You went and put on something so that they will identify you as an African. Right on the plane. I said, God, I'm sorry. And I repented. And I became at peace. So, brethren, don't let anyone tell you it's not important. It's, the things we wear, they transmit a spirit to you. As a doctor, there's a spirit that goes with it.
Yeah.
I know that. It's a personality. And I don't have the personality of a doctor. Because there's a pride that goes with it. So you choose. You want the pride, or you want the covering of Christ. So the professions you are in, the clothes you wear, all those things, there are things that, so now, and these are the things that, when you watch a film, that this will revenge. Okay? Somebody killed somebody's mother, and then at the end of the day, they went and retaliated. What spirit is being transmitted? There's a spirit that's being transmitted. When you watch a tennis match or whatever it is, and it all has to do with personality, has to do with pride and all. I mean, it's not that you don't do this thing, but there are spirits that are being transmitted, and that is the thing. Based on what the Western civilization has been built in. The Romans go to the theater to go and have games. And that's our life. That's neo-Roman, and that is the fourth kingdom that you say it will rule. That beast will rule over. You say it will change the times and laws.
Yes.
So it's going to be changing cultures. It's changing the way people relate, the way you live your life. You probably feel if you don't have a television in your house, you are not. That is it. That is not part of your life. Not part of your routine. So the whole thing. So they have modeled our lifestyle to bring worship to Baal. God is saying we need to look at all that, and pull down those altars.
Amen.
In the way we relate with one another, in the church, at home, and all that. It's everywhere. So God has to, we have to be a people that will see it and then reject it. It's not going to change us and make us. In fact, it will. What it will do is to make us to be priests. People that bring offering unto the Lord in the things we do, in the things we say, in our businesses, in our activities. Everything must be geared towards bringing offering to God. Have you ever wondered about the Jews? They have their yarmulke. Okay. The business one, wherever they are, they put it on and are very proud. And they are convinced about what God has given to them. Now, that speaks of a people that have character. But what kind of character do we have? What values do we have? And how much do we hold it? And how much do we pass it down to our children?
Amen.
You know, are we a people that are easily swayed? We don't have any convictions. You know, it's people can see you and, you know, I say, yes, this is a man of, or a woman of conviction. You know, in England, the church, you know, the church, they've lost it. You know, and the Muslims are everywhere. It's a Muslim country. And you must not allow it to happen here. They have money. They're buying up everywhere. And I wondered about it. Brabos spoke of it. And I was praying about it, and God gave me a word. You know, the English people, they rejected Israel because of oil money in 1948. They turned against the people of God because of oil money. And God is taking it personal. I wish and I pray you will not do the same. Oil money. You turn against the people of God. Well, we thank God that the U.S. is standing with Israel. And that's why you're getting some blessings. We need to pray for the government, that God will put godly men there.
Yes.
You have the authority. If you say yes, it's yes. If you say no, it's no, and there's nothing that will happen about it. You have the authority and you have the power.
Amen.
You know, you don't need to go and canvass anything, but, you know, so these are all aspects. So the ban is there at the family level, the national level, everywhere. It's, you know, it's, you can see it. And God is calling us to be awake and to be alive, to speak, to throw down, and then to build up also. You know, so let us agree as a people that we will not serve Baal.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Women should be women. Dress like women. Behave like women. Hallelujah. Yeah, in our eldership, the women are there. And you know, sometimes, you know, I used to be a hothead, but Pete knows. And, you know, men see things in straight lines. It's this way and that way and that way. But the women, they see the corners, you know. I remember dealing with, someone was going to get married in the fellowship. And we were saying no traditional marriage. We were pressing it and pressing it. And Sister Pat, one of the sisters, said, but these brethren have actually tried. They have come a long way. They have been able to do this. They have been able to do this. But I was only concerned about one particular aspect. I was saying, if they don't do that, it means, you know. So when she said that, God began to speak to me. I could see the tenderness. And it helped me to, you know, to reduce my my measurement and, you know, the force at which I was coming as those brethren. In the fellowship, we need sisters. Sisters should not be men. You know? And the men should not be women. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. An elder is the husband of one wife. But the husband is one with his wife. So how will you solve the mystery? An elder is the husband of one wife. The elder is one with his wife. So how would you separate them? So you cannot be an elder without your wife. But the wife is not an elder. Hallelujah. Say amen. So, it functionally, the two function together. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, without my wife, I'll be a wreck. I will wreck the house of God. But she's not an elder. When I am with Brother Bot, I am talking, she'll be, she, you even though she'll be kicking me when I want to go very fast, she'll kick me and I don't have to slow down. When I begin to rush, she'll just pinch me and I know how to slow down. That is truth.
Yes, amen.
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 Hallelujah. So we need everybody on board.
Amen.
Because we are rising against the enemy and he will not cheat us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, so the men should not, you know, in Africa the women are strong.
Amen.
In Africa the women are strong. But I read the book by Schnobelin, he brought that book to us. And he said something, he said, the Amok that came to America, the Rosicrucian, and the idolatry was manifested in the US by the women rising up to be placed over the women. In UK, the women run the family, they own the family. You know, they will give the rights to the woman more than they will give to the man. I don't know if it is here.
Yeah.
So the men are really put under. Yes. And if you watch the television programs, they will run down the men.
Yeah.
The advertising. It is calculated. Satanism. You know. So these are all subtle aspects of Baal worship that we find, and the people of God, the godly woman, must be sensitive to know when to pull back and know when to, you know. But you cannot throw the baby out to the bathwater, is it not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You cannot throw the baby away with the bathwater. You clean it and get that which is bad, and then you keep that which is good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So God is speaking about Baal. And there are different forms of it. He came right down from Babylon. And of course, we know the geographical mass divided. You can easily fit in Africa with South America. You fit in as one. So we are one people, but divided. You know, so the same cultures you find everywhere. You know, here, Baal worship is subtle. It's symbolic. If you don't look well, you'll not see it. But I'm telling you, Satanism is here.
Right.
And alive as it is in Africa.
Yes.
You know, God showed me the English spirit one time wearing coat tails. He had a hat with the coat tails. So I said it was an aristocratic spirit. And many of you came across the water. Yeah, forefathers came across the water to come to this place. Hallelujah. So God will deal with things as we go before he begins to touch things and then open them up. The human hair that the women wear, that is sold in the market, that dedicated. Human hair that you have as wig, they are dedicated. I don't know if anyone knows. They're dedicated. Well, they have the synthetic ones, fine. The sisters say the human one is very expensive. Is it not so? It's very expensive. So it's something of, you know, you value it. But be very careful how how you deal with it. If you don't have to wear it, then you don't have to wear it. You know, so it may not be, but I do know that some of those things are dedicated, you know, as an offering. You know, so they've gone into several things. It's difficult for you to get into the shop and get a good clothes that doesn't have a deep V-neck. Difficult. You know, so everything is all down, and it's going to go down further. They cut the sleeves off. Is sexuality, you know, it is sex inborn. Hallelujah. It's flesh, you know. The body was not made for fornication, it was made for the Lord. Hallelujah. This embodied spirit need a body to manifest. If you give yourself to them, they will manifest through you. They get life from you. The spirits need a body to express themselves, to get life. But my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So it's worship. You know, so when you give yourself to a wrong spirit, it will manifest. They don't have body, they need body. Scripture, you know, I'm taking a bit of time. Those spirits that were in the demoniac. It says, you know, say, come and say, please, let us go to the pig. If you can't get human body there, they can suffice with pigs. But they needed a body. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes they do animal sacrifice. Even in the musical festivals, they do all those things. So it's all sacrifice, blood and all that. Of course, it goes with the abortion and all those other things. It's all part of the Baal worship.
Amen.
You know? So, and sometimes they have habitual abortions. Those are all aspects of Baal worship. Dedication of children. If you make your children dress them in a certain manner, they become worldly. You are offering them, you are dedicating them to the world. It's part of child sacrifice also. You know, so it's something that is very, very deep. So as you go before the Lord, don't take it for granted. You know, and some of us will have suffered things because we feel it doesn't matter. It matters.
Yes, yes.
Everything is important.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so we don't do it unless the Lord gives you a word. Amen. So nobody is going to say to you, do this or do that and all that, but we have to be a spiritual people. Sometimes you go up to the shop, there are some things that the Spirit of God may not want you to buy. Don't buy it.
Right.
Amen. Because the money is blood.
Right.
It's worship also, isn't it also? Yes. The money is from the Lord.
Right.
It's from sweat. And when you pay your money, it's a form of offering.
Amen.
It's a form of offering. Money is offering. Hallelujah. So don't give your money to that which the Lord is not commanding. And when you do that, you'll be a partaker of other men's iniquity and rebellion and sin. Hallelujah. So we're going to break the bread. Just pray. And then we will share and pray that the Lord will bring cleansing and healing to us. Lord, we bless you for how you've been so gracious to us, how you visited us. Lord, we dedicate this bread and this wine as symbols of the breaking of the body and of the wine of life. As we partake of it, Lord, we pray that you will bless our communion as brethren. We bless our assemblies. You bless our gatherings. You bless the homes. Bless the children. Bless the body. Hallelujah. We bring the weakness in the body. We bring those who need your touch. And now we as a people, we pray with one accord that you will heal the sick amongst us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that we will abide under our covering so that the enemy will not, the scourge of the enemy will not be able to break through unto us. That you heal the hearts, heal the hearts, heal the offenses, restore the brokenhearted, restore the bodies, restore the homes, restore our young people, restore a staff. Let the prodigal be restored back to the house of the Father. Let the ministries be restored. And our ministries will be that which will bring for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. restore unto us fathers in the house. Restore to us mothers in the house. There'll be godly mothers. Mothers in Israel. There'll be elders, grave, sober, founded in the word of truth and righteousness. Lord, grant us seeing eyes, the prophetic vessels. Restore. Cause their vision to be sharp. Let the vision not be dark. Let the day not be dark. Lord, open even the mysteries and the treasures of wickedness. Let there be one even in the house of Ahab, or in the house of the kings of the Gentiles, revealing that which you are about to do. Lord, that we will not be blind regarding that which you say, even in this nation, even in the nations that we live in. Lord, that you will instruct us in the way to go and the way to pray. Lord, we just commit this unto you and commit ourselves unto you, that you will bless our communion, that we will partake of the figs, we'll partake of the wine, the new wine, that there will be healing amongst us. Blessed be your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.